This is Ranger Kidwell Ross, editor at World Sweeper. I'm speaking with Roger Sutherland, and Roger is the principal water resources engineer for AMEC Environmental and Infrastructure Incorporated. He is in Burbank, California, doing testing for sweepers, and Larry Walker Associates, we should mention, is the prime on this sweeper testing project that you're involved in. It is mid-August 2011. As we record this, and it's the last day of the sweeper testing, and we're speaking with Roger to see how the testing went and what kind of insights he might have gained on this. Roger, welcome, and thanks for stopping by World Sweeper and letting the sweeping world know about this test.
Yes, I appreciate the opportunity to talk a little bit about it. I think, as you know, and as you we've communicated before, this testing is directly related to the fact that the LA River Basin and the city of Burbank in Glendale, California, are in that river basin. And there's been a total maximum daily load assigned for metals. And metals are associated with this contaminated material we find along the streets, which I affectionately call street dirt. So the function of this testing is to actually, this week, we're focused on testing existing machines that they currently own, these two cities currently own, and machines that were generally in service when the data was collected that established the need for TMDA. So it's really important to understand that, because the California Water Quality Board has entertained the possibility that we could potentially demonstrate that enhanced street sweeping, enhancing beyond what they were doing before in terms of performance, speed of operation, and frequency, and obviously machines that they were using, if we could improve on that, demonstrate a much greater opportunity to pick up contaminated material, then they're willing to recognize that they might comply with the TMDL. Now, the reason this is significant for the sweeping industry, I have a feeling they really don't understand this, and that's too bad. Right now, down in this neck of the woods, they're saying that the way to solve this problem is to retrofit the urban environment with low-impact development practices. Now, granted, that's it's a great thing to do, and I'm a proponent of these kinds of activities, but the cost of doing that will be astronomical compared to the cost of doing a better job street sweeping and gathering, picking up more metal. So right now the tests have been going quite well. We were able to test a Crosswind, a brand new Crosswind machine, because Glendale purchased one and they wanted to have it tested, and I was here for the whole week. But actually, there's an opportunity, as I think you've been publicizing it, for the various sweeping manufacturers to bring some of their equipment, what they believe is really good, high-efficiency machines, and we'll test them at the date in September, either the second or third week in September, at this same location. But unfortunately, as you know, Ranger, with this very poor economy, we really haven't had many takers. In fact, we haven't had anyone that seriously has agreed to do this, because unfortunately the cost of these tests are not insignificant. So in terms of performance, you know, I'm seeing these mechanicals that are primarily in operation. We've got a Schwartz and we've got a Broom Bear. And we even tested an Alliance machine, even though, you know, I believe Alliance is no longer in business. And all the mechanical sweepers, you know, as I've seen over and over again, simply can't compete with this simulant that I've created. It's different than the Elgin test we did 3 years ago, and that it's actually a little bit finer in its design, and it mimics what they observed when they collected street dirt in these two communities for a period of about 4 months this fall. So in a short statement, and we're testing a real old Schwartz A7000, and I know it's near the end of its service life, and it's just sad that I have to record such poor performance. I wish the vendors would really start to understand that I'm doing my best to bring sweeping to the forefront of stormwater compliance, And if we can convince California that sweeping can get there, then just think what this is going to mean for the rest of the country.
Let me break in here a moment to recall your stormwater presentation and my stormwater presentation that we did for the California marketplace probably 3 years ago now. And we presented the facts about street sweeping, the pickup capability, the relative cost between retrofitting infrastructure, existing infrastructure, versus air sweeping versus broom sweeping. And even broom sweeping was several times more cost effective in terms of a pound of pollutant, the cost per pound of pollutant picked up. And then, of course, you have a lot of gross particles removed as well, so there's a cosmetic aspect. But air sweeping especially was many times more cost-effective, as I recall, on the order of up to seven times more cost-effective than any kind of retrofit that's out there, and that didn't include the cost of real estate. So when you add the cost of real estate in, it really jumps up. So as I recall, we put a survey out at the end of each of those seminars to what were predominantly stormwater managers throughout California. One was in Northern California, one was in Southern California, and the average stormwater management professional was of the opinion, after seeing the facts and information, of two things. One was they were not sweeping near as often as they should. They kind of pledged and said they were going to go back and try to double their sweeping or triple their sweeping. That's a big one. The other one that they said that they felt they should work on that we presented was to combine the stormwater management program's budget with the sweeping budget so that the sweeping program, as a first line of defense toward these small particle runoffs and pollution runoff, would be able to access the money that's now being generated a lot of places through garbage pickup and elsewhere for stormwater management. So if this is real, sweeping, I think, with the new machines really has a wonderful opportunity here to expand its marketplace quite substantially. And you're right, the manufacturers need to recognize this, and we need to put together some type of a testing process that will filter all the manufacturers through so we can have some kind of a real testing process that allows the marketplace to look at it and say, well, you know, here's what my situation is, here's what we're trying to do in our watershed area or this sweeping area of this city, and here are the machines that we can look at and give them a feel that sweeping can in fact make the difference that both you and I are convinced that it will.
Right. Yeah, and I think that was an excellent summary, and actually it's funny how time flies when you're having fun, but I think it was actually 5 years ago when we were down here, and we were really amazed at how many of the communities down here sweep, and some of them quite aggressively, and what we were amazed about is that there was this total disconnect with the stormwater people, the stormwater permit people running the program under the MS, you know, the NPDES programs. They have a total disconnect between recognizing that the existing operations, although might not be perfect, were providing such a benefit. And so what I'm talking about is not just, oh, just get a sweeper and sweep. I'm talking about designing street cleaning programs to effectively remove pollution from stormwater, and I'm convinced, I've spent my lifetime actually studying this on and off, that we're at the threshold of being able to demonstrate that, you know, with the use of the computer model that I've developed, and that's really important. So everything we're doing here has a function of being able to collect what I call real-world data And there's no such thing as real-world data if you're not in the real world, but by putting a certain amount of material down of a known particle size distribution with a curb in play, loaded within about 2 feet of that curb line, and then running a machine with a controlled operation at a speed, timing it while it sweeps so we know exactly how fast it sweeps, it's really starting to pay off, and I think we're learning some things about that I didn't realize. Like, for example, I've been always really taught in the early data that we've had, and there's not been much data, Ranger, suggests that, you know, sweeping at a higher, faster speed is not appropriate. Well, interestingly, we're starting to see that maybe there's not such a huge difference between 5 miles per hour and 10. Those are the two speeds we're testing. But certainly, the type of the machine seems to be a huge item, and that doesn't necessarily mean that mechanical sweepers don't have their place. I think you have to maintain a few in your fleet just for those times when you really have heavy loadings, like windstorm or that sort of thing. But clearly, moving our fleets to regens and air machines that can be effective job at loadings that are quite, you know, really quite low. Our loadings now, Ranger, and our two tests we're doing, or actually three, are 633 pounds per curb miles, which is less than the Elgin test of 792, but pretty much on the high range of what they observed here in Burbank and Glendale. And, of course, the low end, we're actually testing all the way down to 316 pounds per curb mile, which is, you know, well within the range of what they observed, and quite frankly, probably a little bit more predominant. So what we're finding is, generally, you know, there's not a lot of material out there, and you look at it and say, well, it doesn't look like it's dirty at all, but wouldn't that 315 pounds, Ranger, is contaminated with pollutants that are going to the waterways and creating this concern. So I'm going to probably have to cut it short. We've actually got one more test to do. I'm calling you actually from the field, as you know, and I got to help prepare for this last test. So do you have any final things you want to comment on at all?
When do you expect
there's going to be an opportunity for the vendors to get here and to do this test. But we're going to have to hear from them very soon. I mean, they're going to have to give us enough time to at least schedule it. It involves people traveling here and making sure I have enough simulant and that sort of thing. So we're looking at maybe the target of being September 19th as a very valuable date for 3 days of testing here in Burbank. So,
well, one thing that I'd like to cover is the expectation. And our expectation, we want to, I guess, diffuse for the sweeping manufacturing community what the expectation is. I think natural...
these communities, Ranger, if this works, these two communities are going to have to completely retool their entire fleet.
Mm-hmm.
And if they have to slow down a little bit, or they have to change their frequency, it could make differences in terms of the number of machines, and most likely the number's going to go up.
Well,
so right off the bat, there's going to be some sales that'll come out of this. But, you know, as you and I have discussed in the past, don't just focus on Glendale and Burbank, California. Understand that these tests are having a national significance in terms of how little information we generally have on the topic.
Well, and what we're trying to do here with promoting the idea of street sweeper testing is to bring out the new data from the new machines, and we would expect that there will not be a lot of difference between the different manufacturers for the same type of machine. In other words, air sweepers will probably pretty much be air sweepers, broom sweepers will probably pretty much be broom sweepers. There may be, you know, some manufacturers that have some type of edge, but you know, overall, what we would expect is that all of the machines will show a better pickup capability than were shown in the NERP studies of the 1980s.
Oh, absolutely. I'm sorry. That just goes without even saying. And
mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, so few people know this. Good point.
We've been saddled. The industry has been saddled by the NERP study forever, it seems like. And this is our opportunity to have testing done that shows that all of the machines are much better and more capable, and that puts sweeping on a higher profile, and that means sweep a lot more than you do now to get a higher level of pollution abatement in your stormwater runoff. So,
and you know, Ranger, the one last final comment. One of the things I do is I've got a Google Alerts feature, and I use it for the word street sweeping and the word street cleaning. And what I'm finding, what I'm seeing to a higher frequency is in these difficult times, these difficult economic times, they're just thinking, well, we just cut the street cleaning budget. And if public works people want to hold on to that program, and I believe they should, they need to understand that there is a direct linkage to the benefits they're getting in stormwater quality. So when they go to the council and it's so easy, the council says, we'll just cut the street sweeping budget, they can come in and say, no, we're actually doing, you know, if we don't out there sweeping, the stormwater quality is going to get worse, and then we're going to be in even more trouble in terms of satisfying the regulations that are appearing to be rather onerous right now. So,
yeah, they need to understand that the sweeping component is so critical, and, in fact, the small materials that you're working with there, studies have shown that although there's only about 10% of material 250 microns and below on an average street, that up to 60% of the pollutant load that the EPA is trying to get rid of is contained in that 10% of the smallest materials.
Yeah, that's true. So it's important that you pick it all up very effectively, including the lighter stuff like the organics and the leaves and that sort of thing. But you have to be able to pick it all up so you can finally attack the fines. And when we go to a high-efficiency machine, that's why it's high-efficiency. Not because it doesn't do another better job visually. If someone says, well, that street looks clean to me, it's this very fine dust-like material that the real proof is in the pudding. And one final comment, because my coworker is saying, are we going to finish this one test now? I will be at StormCon in Anaheim next week. That's arguably the place to be if you're in the stormwater business, either a manufacturer, a salesperson, a consultant, a city, a county, a regulator. There's going to be about 1,600 people at this conference dedicated. This is about the 10th time they've put it on. And I'm going to be on the opening panel. I'm going to be talking to as many as 1,600 people in the room. And believe me, I will make it clear that one of the concerns I have is that we have overlooked the great value that's before our faces in terms of designing our sweeping programs so that they're as effective as they can be in reducing pollution in urban runoff. That's my focus. I won't sound like a broken record, but I will make these points very clear to everyone that's there. So I feel like we have a great opportunity in September on the 19th for manufacturers to come forth and say, listen, I might not win Glendale or Burbank, but I'm here to compete because I've created a magnificent machine, and Roger Sutherland's gonna show us how good it is. So all I got right now.
Makes sense. All right. Well, thanks very much for your time and comments.
Well,
and
great.
And we appreciate your activism at StormCon. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you so much. Bye now.